Welcome to the Success Now program. You are going to be in for a real treat. Today, our guest, that's not a guest of the Healing Codes, he actually has been working with the Healing Codes since about 2006, but he essentially organizes and puts together and kind of runs the Healing Codes for us as the Chief Operating Officer. But I want to tell you a little bit more about his background, but you are in for a real treat because today Ken will be talking about the foundation for success. A number of the speakers have talked about tips and techniques and things, and Ken is going to start at the foundation for success. And he's going to talk about why some success programs work and why other success programs fail. And he should know, because in 2005, after over 23 years in Silicon Valley and the semiconductor industry, he joined the largest personal development company, Life Seminar Company, in North America. And he was their vice president of operations. And later that year, he ended up becoming the chief operating officer of the largest personal development company in North America. And if I said the name of the organization, you would know. You'd go, oh, really? But Ken stayed there about a year, and he ended up coming over to the Healing Codes as the Chief Operating Officer of the Healing Codes. And the tools and the resources that you are able to get as part of the Healing Codes family has come as a result of Ken Johnston's influence and impact with the Healing Codes. And I got to know Ken when I came on the Healing Codes. Ken, it's been almost 3 years. It seems like it's been shorter than that, but almost 3 years ago. And I want to tell everybody that working with Ken is a delight, it's a privilege, and it's somebody that I would be more comfortable saying he's a friend than just somebody that I work with. He lives in Northern California, and about the music, Ken does have somewhat of a past where he was a studio musician and has done some recording, and you can ask him about that later, but Ken, we're excited to have you on today. Come and share what needs to take place for these individuals to have success. Talk to them about the foundation for success.
Thanks, Ed, so much. I mean, I don't know where to start because I'm excited to be here, first of all. This is one of the things that I absolutely love to do, is share techniques, principles. I mean, it's not just one thing. It never is one thing that allows us to create these desires, wants, what we call success in our life. And I find so many people don't even have the basic foundation. So the more I can share just the basics, get on the right platform, and it's so important. So I'm excited to get to share that. And I'll give you a little reason, you know, how I got to where I run the Healing Codes, as Ed said. I've been doing this with Alex for 6 years now, over 6 years. Prior to that, I did run the largest personal development training, live training company for about a year and a half. Prior to that, I had run an organization called Achievers, based on the power of focus. So I'm kind of going backwards in this, you know, life of mine. But I had run an organization called Achievers for about 4 years, coaching only business owners and what we called performance-based income individuals, meaning you had some influence on the amount you made because of your performance. You weren't an hourly employee. And we coached, so I spent 4 years coaching those individuals in these kind of tips and tools that I'm going to share with you today, that we used to charge over $3,000 annually to these individuals to teach them these tools. And they work. And I'll share why they don't work. The tools work if you use them. And we're going to get into that in a little more detail. And prior to that, that was 12 years ago that I left the corporate world after a 23-year stint in Silicon Valley. I had just become pretty much fed up with the, you know, what I considered, and I always take responsibility for my own beliefs around, you know, anything. But I just thought it was a little bit greedy, a little bit too me in the corporate world. corporate world, and I needed personally to get out of that. That was my choice. For some people, they have a different experience. They have wonderful experiences in the corporate world, but that wasn't what I experienced. So I left abruptly in 1998, probably right at the height of my career. I was running a $600 million organization. I was running operations for a $600 million organization that was a division of we were about $3.6 billion at the time. But in that 23-year stint, I did startups. You know, I ran a $2 million company, ran a $40 million company, and ran operations for a $600 million company. So I have a lot of experience at different levels because they all are run differently. And then going back before that, my training education, I had nothing to do with business, had nothing to do with corporate life, but I was trained and graduated at San Jose State in occupational therapy. Not sure why I'm choking up about that. That was a long time ago. But and we're going to talk about foundations, and that's the reason I really wanted to bring up this trail of experiences, because we all have life experiences. They all vary, they differ, and that's fine because they're ours. That's my life experience, and you get to have yours. So I'm not here to share with you what foundation to set up for yourself in terms of what you want in that foundation, but how to, the importance of setting up a foundation. And it was really in that educational process that started in occupational therapy that taught me the importance of, at the time, we called it a treatment plan. To have a treatment plan to improve the life of individuals that had a deficit occur to them. That's what OT was about. We had both the physical side. If you had a physical trauma, we dealt mostly with lower extremities, and there's other physical therapy that deals with other kinds of therapies, but occupational was the psychological traumas and the physical traumas that can happen to an individual, and what do you do now? And it really taught me a foundation for getting a treatment plan. And I've just carried that all my life. I didn't call them treatment plans when I get in. That's where we're going to get into detail today, is how you can set up a plan for yourself, how to embrace that plan properly so it doesn't become an anchor around you, and how to focus yourself in a direction that helps you get results. And I'm going to tell you exactly why focusing plans work for some people and don't work for others. I don't know how many, I wish I could see you all with raised hands. Because when I ask this question from the stage, it basically, how many of you have ever had a plan for your life? You know, you've done goals, you've written out goals, and you've even stated them the way that the teachers of this, and I'm going to go through this process with you just for those that never have done this. And in case you have done it, we're going to do it a little differently this time. We're going to add a couple of little twists to it. Hopefully that'll get you disconnected from some of what I consider the disappointment. I used to do goal setting, and here's the key. When I failed to reach those goals, it would devastate me and what I call take me out. And we're going to talk about that a little bit too. I'm going to even go one step further back in my education. When I first started college, I started in architecture, another training of how important this foundation of life, because I'm going to keep coming back to this term, the foundation. If your foundation isn't set right, how possibly can anything set on top of it, called your life, work properly? And it's the same spiritual rules, the same those thought process rules, we call them spiritual laws of nature. Often in our organization, you've probably heard us use that term if you've joined us for any of our cutting edge programs. These same spiritual laws operate in the physical realm also. They mirror that spiritual realm. So it's necessary to have a spiritual foundation. it's necessary to have a physical foundation. When I was doing architecture, in fact, it's one of the things that took me out of wanting to be an architect, because they wanted to teach me about soils and about, you know, proper landscapes and how to fit these houses. I wanted to be the next Frank Lloyd Wright. Some of you may know that name. That he's way back. He was a big architect of the day. But bottom line is they wanted to teach me about foundations. I didn't want to learn about foundations. I was an artist. I wanted to do fancy homes and designs and not worry about the foundation. Well, guess what? When they forced me to learn it, it took me out. So I may be quite possibly the most unpopular speaker on this series, because I'm going to challenge you in a way that many of them may not have challenged you, to be responsible for your life and be responsible for setting a proper foundation, which often isn't the fun part. It's not always the creative part of what gets created in your life. But I can tell you this, it is an absolutely, absolutely a necessary part. So let's have fun with it. Let's not let it be an anchor. Let's not let it be a burden. But hopefully you can enjoy the day in re-looking at this subject that I call the foundation and setting goals. And we're going to get into a master plan, a three-year plan, a one-year plan, and then back into a weekly action plan. And I'm going to tell you the big difference. You know, we're going to focus on these practical things that you can do on a daily, weekly, annual basis that, again, are necessary. While not so fun for some people, they weren't fun for me, but they were necessary. And I have done these, I'll say, religiously for many years now, and I have finally learned how not to be burdened down by them, but be to embrace them. And here's why this is important. So let's start setting that foundation. First of all, how many of you are what I would term, and it's a term I coined a few years ago, climbing the wrong ladder as it relates to where you're taking your life? And I like to share stories, and my personal stories are the ones that are closest to me. So let me share you an example of what I mean by climbing the wrong ladder. That 23 years I spent in the corporate life, and here I am, an occupational therapist. I took my registration exam on a Friday, all day Friday. In fact, it was a Thursday and a Friday. That night, I played my first gig in a local bar down in the Bay Area. And that sent me on another career that I didn't even mention. I played music for about a year and a half professionally and loved it. Because that's my hobby, passion. That was my artistic release. But what was happening was, I'm losing this ladder thing, what was happening was I transitioned from OT to music to this corporate world, and most people said, how did you end up there? Well, it's pretty simple. I had a brother who was about 4.5 years older than I am, and so he had that little head start, and he was off running in the corporate world. He graduated in marketing, joined a large company, and was attaining quite a bit of success early on, and I'm sitting there going, I want some of that success that my brother has. So rather than continue down my artistic path, I joined that corporate culture and got what my mom would whisper in my ear, when are you going to get a real job? So I got a real job at about the age of 24, 25, and ended up in a path that I had no idea what I was doing there. So I was learning from scratch. I didn't know business acumen. I didn't know business information. I certainly didn't know the economics of business, but it was my starting point. I now look back and thank God for, you know, helping me navigate to that. But here's where I was climbing the wrong ladder. I was trying to climb that corporate ladder that I was watching my brother climb. He climbed it very successfully. After 20 years, he became the CEO, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. He's since retired from that. He's very wealthy. But here I was, the younger brother, climbing that corporate ladder that I did not like. The first 10 years, yeah, it was fun because I was learning a lot of things, but I got pretty high up on that ladder after 10 years, and I didn't like the view. I didn't enjoy what my brother loved. He absolutely loved and embraced the corporate culture. But I'm not my brother. And I didn't love and embrace the corporate culture. So here I am climbing the ladder to where? To a place that I didn't enjoy. And I bring this up because that's my story, but I'm wondering if you have a version of that story. I'm wondering if how many of you out there have been climbing ladders chasing somebody else's want list, desires, plans for their life because you think that's what you should do, or mom was whispering in your ear, when are you going to get a real job, or your version of that. We all have some version of that. So my first challenge to you is to ask you to ask that question. And I'm going to start off with, I'm hoping every one of you, if you don't have it, I'm going to give you a minute here, get pen and paper in hand. I provide no handouts, and I do that purposefully. I'm kind of that not popular guy because I want you to be responsible for getting your outline in the way you want to outline it. Not the way I want you to outline it. I don't want you listening to me from that perspective. Oh, Ken, give me the outline because it'll make it easier for me. Now, I don't want it to be easier for you. I want you to learn. I want you to learn through personal responsibility. So hopefully get that pen and paper in hand because I want you to take these notes because these are some of the actions I want you to take over the next week. And they're going to be very specific. So the first thing I want to challenge you to do and the question I want you to ask, are you climbing a ladder that you enjoy being on? We're all climbing something. We're all doing something. We're all going somewhere. Is it where you want? And it's serious enough to ask the question so that you can say yes or no and be very clear about it. Not, well, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, you're not clear. And if you're not clear, it's real hard to take action towards a foggy future. So I'm going to ask you that first question and have you sit with yourself, and I'm going to give you a little tip on how and when to do that. But first question, just get the question down. Am I climbing the wrong ladder? Am I going after goals that are not mine? And then the second piece of this equation in setting the foundation. I call it to measure this. How many of you out there are measuring yourself against someone or something in both a positive and or negative platform? I wish again I could see the hands because the answer should be by 100% of you, we are all measuring ourselves to something and someone. Sometimes we measure in the positive. Oh, I'm a little more talented than them. Or I'm a little more, I'm a little better looking than them because it makes us feel good. I had a situation yesterday with my 12-year-old daughter. She came home in tears. Because somebody at her school, one of the other girls her age, came up here and said, oh, you got an elephant's nose and you're this, and just pounding on her with negative stuff, this is human behavior, putting her down, so to speak, my guess, my psychological training tells me, so that that other little girl could feel and measure herself as being better than. How many times has that happened in your life? So we can do it in both directions. We can measure ourselves as better than in some way, and we often measure ourselves as less than. We've believed the voices of the past that have told us we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not anything. I mean, just fill in the blank. And again, the reason I'm bringing up this foundational piece, it is so absolutely important for you to get off of that platform. Get off of letting others make you less than. Get off of feeling or needing to feel like you are better than. Neither work. We are who God made us to be. We all have a purpose. Whether that purpose is to be a shoeshine guy one of my favorite, and the reason I'm bringing this up is that picture just hit me. One of my favorite guys on the planet, I used to travel a lot in the corporate days, and I used to go down to Austin, Texas on a regular basis. So I was in that airport at least twice a month for probably 2-3 years. And I would always make it a point to stop and get my shoe shined by this one guy that was in one of the jetway, or not jetways, but, you know, that little corner where you either go this way, that way, or, in the terminal. I would always make sure I stopped because, you know what? That guy was living his purpose. He was a shoeshine man. And he was the nicest, kindest, most positive guy I think I had ever met to that point. I loved sitting in his chair and chatting with him. He made me feel like $1 million, and I knew, and my goal was also, I wanted him to feel like he belongs too, that he was needed. We would have the neatest interactions, and I just loved who this man was. Not what he did, or measuring, well, he's just a shoeshine guy. That wasn't the point. He got it. He got that that's what he loved doing. He loved interacting with people, and he made it a treat. Anybody that sat down in his chair, he made it an experience. And I encourage you to look at that story in this context of measuring ourselves and say, I don't need to be the most successful person. It took me a long time, and it took me overcoming my own measurements to my brother. I never became the COO of a Fortune 500 company. I never made the kind of money my brother made. But if I sit on a flat platform and not judge that or not measure it, I have absolutely come to the place I want to be in life and love the life I'm living. And that isn't an accident. It was a choice about 12 years ago because I was not a happy individual 12 years ago. Just 12 years ago. But my design got clear. My new direction, my new ladder got clear. I stopped measuring myself against others, and I started on a path that allowed me to live the kind of life I wanted to live. And that's what I want to talk to you about, is how can you do that? I don't want to tell you what that life should be. You get to choose. That's the neat part. We're all the painters of our own canvas of life. I'm sure you've heard that analogy before. We get to paint what our life looks like with the help, of course. I call on the good Lord all the time. Okay, Lord, help me. Show me why I'm here. Help me through these challenges, because guess what? On your path to your life, you're all going to have challenges. And so with those two things inside of that foundation for you, get off the long ladder, get on one that you enjoy climbing, and get off the platform of measuring whether you're better or less than anybody or anything. Okay. Capture those. I want you to spend time. I'm going to teach you how, or I'm going to share with you a tool how to spend time. But here's what this architecture is so important. Here's the keys to capture these. First of all, you absolutely want direction. You want to know what ladder, and I'm just using the ladder as an analogy. What direction am I putting, what wall am I putting my ladder on? What direction am I going on?
Secondly, getting clarity. Be as specific and clear about that path as you can get. And again, we're gonna go over how not to let that be the roadblock in and of itself, which it can be for so many people. Third, the focus. And that's what we taught for years. I recommend to all of you go out and get a book called The Power of Focus. It was written by a friend of mine, Les Hewitt. He was actually the founder of the Achievers Coaching Program. I brought his program into the U.S. It was written 10 years ago. In fact, I just talked to Les the other day. They're bringing out their 10th anniversary version of that book called The Power of Focus. It was co-written with Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. Those were the principles that we taught, the foundational principles that we taught. And I'm going to share with you why I don't spend as much time teaching those. I love teaching those principles. But I was always fascinated with why people took themselves out of the next category. And I want you to write these again. Direction, clarity, focus, and action. Are you taking actions to get results? And I can guarantee you, all of us, including myself, take ourselves out too often in taking the action we know we need to take to get results. An example, you're a sales guy. You know you're supposed to make, in other words, the company says, you need to make 30 calls a day because if you do, I don't care how many no's you get, the numbers say you're going to get these kind of results. Somebody's eventually going to say yes. This is absolutely true. The numbers prove it out. But how many guys actually pick up the phone and make the 30 calls a day? And we have a variety of reasons why we don't, or what I call excuses. One of my sales mentors and teachers many years ago, when I would come in the office and say, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? No. And, or I'd give some, more important, I'd give some excuse. Well, it was this problem, and I ran into this, and whatever it is. And his answer, and it was a bad answer to me, was this. If I were an excuse-oriented person, I'd probably say that too. And that caught my ear many years ago, and in repeating it to me, I ended up working with this individual for about 5 years. He was one of the neatest guys in my life, taught me more about the rules of engagement, I'll call them. And just stop, take personal responsibility and stop making excuses. Now, we all know, and the reason we're here, and the reason you have in your hands the success codes is because it was the missing link that I was missing, that so many people are missing, and even when I'm teaching Achievers, I saw that there was a missing link. When I was running this many million dollar personal performance organization, I saw there was a missing link. And that's when I met Alex. It wasn't an accident that Alex came into my life, but the healing codes and ultimately the success codes, because I knew there was a missing link as it relates to our beliefs that take us out. And they take us out of the very action that is absolutely necessary in order to get results. Action is what gets results. You can say, I meditated for years. 8 years I did, I won't get into the long training I did in meditation, but for 8 solid years I belonged to an organization. We'd sit on our rear, meditate, and the philosophy of that organization was more in that flavor of sit and meditate it into existence. And I would watch people do this, and I happen to be an action-oriented person, so, but I sit there and go, how is the thing that they want in a physical realm supposed to happen if they don't get up off their rear and take some action? And I really saw that there was a balance needed. I saw a big gap between the doers, the action people that didn't have spiritual direction or know how to manifest in that way, and the so-called manifestors or spiritual people who didn't know how to get up and take action. There was a big gap. All I was attempting to do for myself was bridge that gap. Those are two wonderful tools when brought together can create wonderful things. So action, action, action. The next one is key also. Flexibility. Because I'll tell you, when you get a plan and you start going in a direction, if all of a sudden circumstances in life change, you can't keep going in the same direction because the circumstances have knocked you off of that. Or, what's even funner for me, is I might meet a fork in the road and say, you know, I was heading to San Francisco, but you know what? There's Napa. It's right there. I might take this little fork, and then I'll just take a little longer way to get to San Francisco. And I got to experience Napa on my way to San Francisco. So there's times we want and choose to be flexible for two reasons. One, circumstances may dictate it, and choice may influence it. So it's so important to be flexible. And that's where a lot of people fail with personality type that I want to go there, I'm not going to let anything get me off track, and you know, come heck or high water. And I'm being kind there. I use different terms with different audiences. But flexibility is key. The next thing on that list should be don't get attached to the results, because every direction has an end destination that you're wanting to get to. If I didn't get to San Francisco on that trip by choice or by circumstance, am I going to let that destroy me? Am I going to let that take me out? I don't want to make plans anymore because I never get to the place I'm going. And I've watched people make that choice. There's no sense in doing goals because, I just never get them anyway. So it's so important to let go of the results and be very mindful. While you're on the path towards something, be it circumstances or choice that have taken you off of that path and led you to different results, you can enjoy those different results, and so many people do not. And I bring this up because put a big star on that one. And that's why I hear Alex say all the time, I don't know that I totally agree with the way it is said, but I've heard him often say in the Cutting Edge program, goals are a happiness killer. And I will edit that a bit. Not reaching your goals can be a happiness killer if you're attached to it, if you're attached to the results. Goals in and of themselves are merely a direction. So I want to neutralize that process and say, there's nothing wrong with the process. I've used the process over and over, and it works wonderfully. But the key to my happiness was not getting so caught up that, I didn't get that. I failed there. In the corporate world, we always had one-year plans, three-year plans, five-year plans, 10-year plans. And I can tell you, there were years where we made it, we beat the goals, we did everything, and there were years where we fell flat on our face. Did we let that take us out? No. One of the teachers I've listened to, he uses the term correct and continue. I love that term, correct and continue. I'm going to use an analogy for you because this was shared with me many years ago. I kind of have a scientific background also, but and this was easy for me to understand. And it might give you a visual basis for how life is. The astronauts and the missile people, these space shuttle people, the comment was made, how much of the time spaceship, I'm going to call it, I'm going to pick the moon. When they went to the moon, how often was that spaceship on track with the coordinates that were set in that system to go to that moon? I was astounded at the reality of it, because you think, they sent it to the moon, it went straight to the moon. No, it didn't. It was off track more than 99% of the time. It was corrected and continued. The ship would get off track, they would correct and bring it back. The ship would get off track, they would correct and bring it back. The ship would get off track, they would correct and get it back. The key here is how wide is the bandwidth in your life? And you get to choose. You got a narrow bandwidth, meaning
I'm off track. I'm off track of the direction I said I want for myself. I need to understand why so I can make the corrective action that I want to take. So we adjust and correct, and we get to choose. Well, that's the word. Do I want to go to the moon? Do I even want to go to the moon? But if I do, and I stay true to my end result that I'd like to get, I've got to correct and continue. We all have to correct and continue. The question is how narrow is that bandwidth? Now, I can picture this bandwidth, but put your hands together and let's say, and tilt the fingertips to the sky. Just put them out in front of you. And then put them about shoulders length, width, I mean. And then bring them in real narrow to about, ear width. And then bring them even narrow to eye width. That's the bandwidth. That distance between those two hands. And if I want a straight line right through the center of those two hands that I've got up in front of me, am I going to stay on that straight line 100% of the time? Absolutely not. I'm going to be drifting constantly as I drift through life towards something. My challenge is, how wide of that bandwidth am I going to allow? Am I going to correct and continue very quickly before it gets too far off path? Or am I going to allow it to go way off path and then end up over somewhere going, where am I? How many of you are asking in your life, where am I? How did I get here? I was asking that question 12 years ago. I thought I knew where I wanted to be in the corporate world 23 years earlier than that, or another 5 years after that. I thought I wanted to be, but into it 23 years, and for the last 10 of that 23 years, I was asking, how did I get here? I don't even like it. How do I get out? And it took me a while to get out because I was stuck on the money part. I made very good money. Every time I poked my head outside of the industry, I'd look at what other people were making. I'm going, I don't want to go backwards. How can I go backwards? I'd be a failure if I went backwards. I had to adjust that. I had to adjust that thinking. And trust me, when I left, I made nowhere near the same kind of money I made in that world for over 5 years. Over 5 years. I mean nothing near that kind of money. Now, today, I'm not too close to what I made back then. But I'm picky, I'm happier. I'm doing exactly what I want to do. My life is unfolding exactly the way I dreamed and desired and wanted it to look 12 years ago when I started proactively designing my life instead of reacting to what the corporate world said I needed to do. And I'm hoping you get that difference. We're going to jump now into this master planning process, the very detail of it. So get another piece of paper out because I want you to write this down. And this is your work. This is your homework to do. And I'm going to cover three pieces of this. We're going to start with, you always, anytime you're going in some particular direction, you go to the furthest point out that you want to be. Now, I don't like going out further than 3 years because invariably things change in 3 years that I'm redesigning it anyway. Seldom have I got to the end of a three-year period that I was exactly where I thought I might be in 3 years. And I love the flexibility part that's probably because of my artistic nature. I like that freedom to, maybe I won't go to Napa instead of San Fran, or maybe I won't go over here. There was one point in that first five years that one of my mentors said, well, you seem to be all over the map. And I said, yeah. Isn't that neat? Because they were very focused on where they were going and thought I should be too. But that was my discovery period. Now, I am on track. I am not all over the map. I have a very specific mission for myself, a very specific goal as it relates to helping the healing codes be reached in the world. And so it's much different than that first 5 years. But it's exactly what I created.
It's exactly what I kind of mocked up to myself. 12 years ago, I wrote this plan out. First time I'd ever written it in that way. So here's how that came to be. First thing you want to do is a 3-year master plan. Write that at the top of that page, 3-year master plan. And this is just a simple goal-setting process that some of you may have done many a times, but hopefully you're open enough to doing it a little bit different, or go grab those notes. If you've already done it, bring those into this. But there's 7 categories I want you to look at in your life that I believe is the balancing act that all of us are looking for. Because certainly I wasn't balanced at that time. Most of my life in the corporate world was work, 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 work. Family was second, even though I would say, oh, family's first. No, it wasn't. My actions weren't showing that. But now family is first. Well, and God is first, and I won't get into my priorities, but it is absolutely critical that you look at the big picture of your life, and these are the 7 categories, so please write these down. First, and I always put these aren't in any order of priority, but they are kind of in an order of where we spend our time and where a lot of our worry goes, is personal finances. And I'm going to spend a little more time on this one than any other one because I think it's just that important. You need to set a 3-year plan for your personal finances. What do you want your income to be? I finally realized I am Ken Inc. I don't work for Alex. I work for Ken. Ken provides his services to Alex and provides them in a way, hopefully, that brings enough results and is congruent with the company mission that they like the work I do. Whether you're working on an hourly basis, whether you're working for a company, whether you're working for yourself, you are you. You are providing services. Therefore, so what is your services goal in income? That's called the goes in us. I need goes in us in this physical, and I won't get into the long training that I do on currency, but we have goes in us in life and we have goes out us in life. And if we have more goes out us than we have goes in us, we're in big trouble. And I won't get into the political mess, but I'll laugh about it because I wish our government understood that. You cannot continue to spend more than you bring in. So it's important to have a plan for, well, what do I need to bring in to live the lifestyle that I would desire to live? And here's the next piece. Have plans, goals, specifics about putting a major cap on your goes-outs. One company, I love their term, the leaky holes. And I have never met anybody that has this, because of our culture and because of credit and because of all just the different influences on this subject, I've never met anybody that didn't waste money in major ways. And I'm going to challenge you to get a list of the ways you spend your money and put a cap on it. Have a goal around it. I did this just last year. I was encouraged to go back to the simple tool. I was encouraged to go look at my leaky holes last year. And you know how much just sitting back in a 1-hour period saved me last year alone? $30,000. And that's not, in my world, that's not a trivial number. I was able to not spend $30,000 that I would have spent had I not rethought whether that was a good thing to do in the leaky hole category. Stop spending on frivolous things. Ask questions like, do I need this? Or do I want this? Necessities first. If you have extra, great. I'm a big believer. Take 10% of whatever the goes-ins are and use it on play and fun things and entertainment because you need that too. But it shouldn't be 20, 30, or 40%. So be mindful, but have a game plan, 3-year plan, on your personal finances, goes inses and goes outses. And we're going to have a chance to question some of these. Now, when we write goals, I talk about that's the direction. Now, I want clarity. How do I write a goal? There's two key pictures. We talk about this, and there's two key pieces. We talk about this all the time at the Healing Code. How do we hold beliefs in our body? We hold them in the form of pictures and feelings. Our goals should look the same way. That's why we call it imagination. Imagine this want, desire you have for your life in a picture and a feeling, and write it down that way. I'm excitedly, that's the feeling. I can use any adjective or term I want. I'm excitedly, or I'm enjoying the, and I'm just going to use the number, the $100,000 income I'm getting by working for XYZ, or by applying my talents towards XYZ. And you notice how I said, I am. That's the present time nature of the imagination. I am feeling, I am enjoying the specific $100,000 and, let me add, or more doing X, taking this action. So that's how a goal can be stated, and it needs to be stated in this way in all of these categories. I am feeling a result as a result of this particular action I'm taking. So now I'm going to go through quickly the 7 categories, and then we're going to go into the 2 next pieces. You want your personal finances? That's first. Your business life. What are your goals for the business? Not your income. Your goals for the business. Is it a particular size? Is it a particular mission? We often don't do our goals for the company in terms of revenue, because our goal is to help people heal. So our goals are more, how can we reach people? Our business goals are more about reaching people and sharing this wonderful story of a tool that can help them overcome the what takes them out. And again, we will get to that too. Next thing on your list, this is the kind of balance of all the pieces of your life. So you've got your personal finances, your business life. We get consumed by those two pieces so much, so that's why I kind of put them at the top. They're not necessarily the priority. Third is your health. What's your goals around your health? Is it a weight goal? Is it a body fat goal? Is it I want to get in better shape? Or are you taking action? There's got to be some action. I have yet to find out. I have yet to get in shape without working out. Haven't found that to ever happen. I meditate and go, oh, I wish I could lose that, whatever. It doesn't happen without the action. So have some very specific goals around your health. Next on the list, fourth, is relationships. A very, very important part. Kind of that triangle. Money, health, and relationships. We consider the triangle of this physical life that we're living. So what are your specifics about improving your relationships? Are they improving relationships with a colleague? Are they improving relationships with your loved ones, your significant other? In my case, I have goals with my wife. I want to improve on. Always improve on the relationship I have with my wife. So I have goals around it. Well, I'm enjoying spending a night every other week with just her and I at a restaurant or a movie. Be specific. See it in your mind. Bring a feeling of that. What does it feel like when you're experiencing it? So you're programming yourself for it to be manifested and have a good feeling about it, but not attached to it. It doesn't happen. Tricky little subject. Next on the list is your personal life. And they, some of you were online when and heard a couple of the songs that I have on my CD. This was, that CD was the result of this process. I'm way past being a musician that would ever make it in life. I'm way too old to be considered, and I don't consider myself that great, but I still love music. And a dream of mine way back when I was playing music was to do, now I'm going to date myself, was to do an album. Yeah, they actually used to put them on these big discs about 14 inches wide, and they called them albums. They were black, and they went on record players. Today they call them CDs. So I had to update my language because my dream and goal was, I saw this album. I never did it. I never took the action to actually create an album. So here I was at the age 12 years ago going, I'm going to do an album. And again, I'm way past being any kind of artist and accepted in that world. But it became my, that was in my personal life goal. I wanted to do a CD. So I started crafting, what does that look like? I enjoy holding my CD with 12 new songs with me singing and producing and getting it created. I'm enjoying holding it. I could see myself holding this CD, not an album now. So I updated my image and feeling around it. 2 years later, that CD was created. I took the time to take the actions to get it done. It's still one of the highlights of my life. It's not popular. It's like sold. I've given away more than it sold. The point wasn't to have it be a hit. The point was, I got to enjoy doing that. I had tears in my eyes when I was back in the studio creating it. Just knowing, wow, this has been a life's dream of mine, and it's happening right now. And you can do that. I don't know if that's a trip, maybe you want a special trip to somewhere. I don't know if that's, I want to build a home. It could be anything, but this is your personal life. This is that dream that sits in you that you want, but probably has been sitting on a shelf for too many years. So get some clarity and goals around that. Six, just fun time. Carve out time to enjoy your life. Back when I started this project, I had fun time, but not the way I do now. I had so much more fun time. But I used to kind of tweak it in between all the corporate time. I was working 60-plus hours a week. I don't work 60-plus hours a week anymore. I work when necessary. I get the job done, and I carve out time for fun. Not by accident. So fun time category. And then last, but not least, contribution. How do I give? Where do I give? What do I give? Doesn't have to be money. It could be time. Where do I give it? But everybody, I would like to think everybody has had the feeling of giving without expecting anything back, and I like the biblical basis of this. Sometimes not even telling anybody. Most of the time not even telling anybody. Just doing it. Just to give. There is no better feeling than for me, than the heartwarming feeling of giving when it's needed. So have a plan around it. It can be a quiet plan. You don't need to share that with the world. Or, that's up to you again. So now you have the foundation of a master plan. Look out 3 years out, specific goals stated in the way I said, in those seven categories. I would recommend you have three in each category. Expand yourself. Make your life big. Have three goals in each category. Again, not that they're going to all happen, but their direction. Their direction, their clarity, they give you focus. So that then you can now start doing the next part, taking action. Okay, you've got 3 years. The next thing on your list is now narrow that down. Okay, I want to be here in 3 years, well, how far can I get in one towards that three-year goal? So if I want $100,000 in income, goes into then let me, and I'm at 40, and I'm just using numbers, you know, whatever applies to you. And I'm at 40, well, maybe the next step over the next year is to up at 50% to 60. And then in year two, you got another one-year plan towards your three-year, and up it again. So bite-size your way, step-by-step, to the three-year through the process of the one-year in each of those categories. That's the balancing act of life. Now, when I, from stage, I often did this, I would get, you know, the spinner, imagine in your mind the spinning, those little spinning things that sit on the top of sticks. And I actually bought a set of those so I could demonstrate this. And those are these seven categories. And you're running, you know, I've got them set up on stage, and I, if I organize them correctly on stage, I can kind of run over here and give this one a little spin. I get them all seven going, and I run it over here and get this, get them going, and then I kind of, oh, this one's starting to wobble, I'll come over here. This is an important analogy for, we have to move around. We have to, oh, I need to pay some attention over here to keep the life in the goal. To keep it active, to keep it moving. Put action, the action is the motion of spinning the plate. The plate of personal finances, the plate of business life, the plate of health. And imagine if I start ignoring one of those plates, or two of those plates, or more. What happens to the plate eventually if I don't spend some time and energy on that plate? Yeah, fall. What happens when it falls? It's harder to especially, I like the amount, I had plastic ones that didn't break, but I often wanted to do other, you know, a porcelain one that would shatter, because sometimes picking up the pieces takes so much more energy than just spending a little time and being mindful of all the categories and putting the spin on them as needed. So that's, I'd like to create the pictures for you so that you really embrace this. Now the last piece, we're going to kind of wind up with this, and then I'm going to open this up for questions, and we're going to kind of navigate through this. The last piece of this, I've got a three-year master plan, I've got a one-year plan that moves me towards, every action is in that direction, unless by circumstances or choice, it changes. Always flexible. I now have a weekly action plan. I have to take action every week to spin those plates. So I should have a weekly action plan in every category. Now, it may not take but one little spin over here to keep that thing going, so I'm not saying it's equal again. I'm saying, I need to spin that, but I'm going to spend most of my time because I want most of my energy and I want a really good pace for this one category I've chosen where I'm spending most of my time during the week, and you get to choose. It's called prioritization. You get to choose how much time are you spending every week. You're mindful of where your time should be spent. And you write it down. You have your goal sitting in front of you, and you say, okay, geez, I want to get here, so what can I do and have an action? Again, I reckon sometimes it's multiple actions. You know, this is where you can, I might have 10 things I can do in a particular category. I might have one, but I can have 10. But then I always do, if I have a lot in a given category, most of these are in business, obviously. I spend most of my days spending time in business. So most of my actions are business-oriented. But I might have 10 specific things I need to get done that week. I know what they are, and most importantly, I know what the top three are. And sometimes those top three are the most difficult. And what do most of us by nature do? We avoid the difficult. And we go to the easy ones. And then each week we're putting off the real thing that's going to help and then picking up the next easy things to do. And we wonder why we're not moving towards our goals very, very fast. I told you in the beginning, I might not be the most popular speaker on this series because I'm going to challenge you. Now, here's what you have that people I taught for years and years and years did not have, and I still was able to help them get greater levels of success. But now, I am tickled pink that we have the success codes. Because here's the trick. You're going to ask, I'm a big believer in questions. And here's the three questions I want you to ask. And here's what I want you to do around your master plan, around your EAT weekly action plan, is I want you to commit to the following. I want you to commit to 1 hour minimum. You could spend a half day a day doing this, but you're not, most of you are not ready. I spend it anywhere from 1 hour to maybe, well, what I need. If I need a couple hours, I might do a couple hours. If I need three, I'll do three. In a process I call reflective thinking time. You need, this is important, this is kind of where I get a little pushy. It is absolutely necessary to do it, and it is absolutely necessary to schedule it. If you do not have a calendar for your business activity and you do not have a calendar for the actions you take, I can't stress enough the importance of these simple little tools that allow you to just organize and make sure you're staying on track. Calendar, take the time to reflectively think. And here's what you get to do when you're in your thinking time. And again, write these things down. These are very, very important. I'm a big believer in questions. I have a whole training on just questions alone, but I'm going to give you the three most powerful questions that I learned a number of years ago that have helped me solve pretty much everything that comes up in life. One way or the other, they will lead me to a resolution. And these are the three questions. What's working? What's not? And what's next? It answers for everything. And the reason I ask what's working, because guess what? I want to be in the most positive frame of mind when I'm sitting there asking that question, and I'm doing this during my reflective thinking time. My reflective thinking time is that quiet time where the family doesn't bother me. When I was in the office, I used to close the door. This is my time. I don't answer the phone. I am quiet. Find a peaceful place to do this. If you have to go out to your car, go to your car and do it. But do not be distracted. Do not allow. You get to choose. You really do. Do not allow distraction during this period. This is your time. This is your time. For me, I connect to God. I have a prayer before I start. God, your will be done. Talk to me. I need answers. You're the one I'm asking. Because it's in that quiet time that answers come. I guarantee it. But the first thing I want to do is ask, what's working? And the reason I do that, because it makes me mindful that there are things working. Now, on this focus topic, third of our list of direction, clarity, and focus, too many of us focus on the problems, we get encumbered in the problem, we get into that, what I call, downward spiral of negative thinking because it's a problem. I want to start with, well, what's working? Oh, gee, this is working, and this is doing good, and I'm doing good here, and this is happening, and this is good. And then I'm in a frame of mind that I can ask the next question. Because invariably there's things that aren't working in the context of, it's not completed yet, there's things happening and circumstances that I do not control. So what's not working? It's important to, understand that. What's not working in my relationship? What's not working in my business life? What's not? Because that's where I get to adjust my plan. And certainly they lead to the biggest piece for the weekly action plan is what's next. What can I do? What action can I take this week in my plan that will move me in the proper direction that I'm saying I want to go in? So what's working, what's not, what's next? That's the action. That's the clarity of here's what I can do, and I'm going to go do this. Now here's the fun part. Invariably, well, by statistics, I would say 98% of the population gets taken out of the plan.
I hope you heard that. 98% of the population gets taken out while moving towards their goal. Because that's why so many people are not getting results that they want. That's why when I was learning Achievers, it wasn't as bad on Achievers because these processes were so good. But I was still watching a large percentage of people. I get clear, get direction, get clarity, get focused, and when it came to action, they'd get taken out. Well, they'd have excuses. You know what I'm talking about. I still get taken out. But guess what? You now have a tool to overcome what's taking you out. You have the healing codes, many of you, and you have the success codes. The success codes were designed for the purpose of this kind of activity. If you need to apply in the health area, use the healing codes for that health category. But for the success categories, whether they're relationship, personal life, fun time, business, use the success codes. Because you know what your problem is by what's taking you out, but you've got to spend enough time looking at it, asking the question, what's taking me out? You have the perfect formula for saying, yeah, I've got the codes. I can do the codes on what's taking me out. How am I feeling about procrastinating? How am I feeling about not measuring up? Do the codes so that you can get your measurement platform even. You are less than nobody. Nobody. You are here for a reason. You have purpose. You have contribution. You have life currency. You are all valuable. Let it show. I'm not the guy making the most money here. I'm not the guy on stage anymore. I have a purpose. I'm serving it. And I enjoy it. It's the life I chose. I don't have to be the so-called number one. I don't have to beat my brother. I don't have to beat somebody else. I'm not even competing. I'm off the measurement platform. That's what the codes can do for you. So now you have a formula for setting a foundation and a tool that will help you overcome the things that take you out, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. But you have to take the time, the reflective thinking time, to know to use it and where to use it. That's the neat part about this process, is you know exactly where to apply it. It's going to tell you by the fact you're looking at it, and reviewing it and processing through it. All of you can have a much better life. Every one of you, I guarantee it, I did it for myself. 12 years ago, I found this process. 6 years ago, I found the codes. And the real change started 6 years ago. Remember I said the first 5 years after I left the corporate world, I'm telling you, I didn't even get into detail of what a financial struggle that was. I had very little income. I went through over $500,000 in savings. I'll get into a little detail. But I don't regret any of it. It brought me to where I'm at, got a new tool that helped me overcome some of the things that were taking me out in this wonderful plan. But now you have a plan and a tool. So I encourage you to use it. And we're going to spend some time. For those who wish to stay with me here, I'm going to answer questions. And I don't know how long we'll do this, but I'm willing to stay here for a while. And I'm going to make it easy on you. For those that are on the phone, I don't know, let's see, how many are on the webcast? Not many. Let's see. We've got quite a few on the webcast. Unfortunately, I don't have a system where I can get your questions in here, but we can get some questions, and very often those questions are often very similar. In fact, and there are no dumb questions.
please do not hold back if you have a question of anything I've said today, how to apply this, whether it's the philosophy behind the foundation or the specifics of getting clarity and focus with a master plan. I want you to raise your hand by pressing *2, and then I'm just going to randomly pick some folks and answer some questions. So, if the whole board lights up for me here with raised hands, great. We're going to try and get to as many people as we can. So the first person with a raised hand comes from a phone number ending in 2159. I'm going to open your line, and your line's open, and who are we speaking with?
Good afternoon, Ken. My name is Judy, and how are you?
I am excellent, and I'm loving
you. Yes, you really are. Thank you for being so, because it's been being transmitted to my own spirit, and so I'm a born-again believer in just about 35 years, and it's a wonderful thing to see that this has come our way at such an opportune time when the world has gone stark raving mad, our government is more corrupt than ever, but we need to pray for them because we're looking at the growing creation, which we're part of. So my question is, I'm 74. I have been, praise God, and we're very much into nutrition and trying to keep up with everything, spirit, soul, and body. And what I have not succeeded in doing, my life is kind of a shambles because I'm so disorganized. So this information, Ken, is fabulous, but I know I'm not going to be able to do it, especially the action, if I don't do the healing pose and the procrastination, the fear, all of this stuff. I've been down the road a lot for a long time. I know where it comes from. I'm so grateful that there is something we can grab onto that's going to work. Can I just do the universal codes for anything? Because I've talked to Johanna several times. But are the regular healing codes still okay for whatever we're dealing with?
Yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, you've got the book has the universal code. It's a generic code. When I talk about the codes, the only difference in these codes is the specificity of them. And when you get more specific with a code, they work quicker, they work more intensely, they can help you overcome that deep-seated belief quicker and more effectively. But that doesn't mean a universal code won't work in time. So, absolutely, use whatever code you've got. If you're on this program, the success code. Now, again, if you're at a place where I forgot those codes, then use the universal code, because I love using the codes when the issue comes up. In other words, when my feelings start to go to a negative place, when I came from a fast-paced, getting back into my world, I was a pretty fast-paced, intense, and I'll use the term angry guy when I was in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
I didn't like being angry. I was the guy that needed anger management classes.
Yes.
So my trigger to tell me something's askew is when I start to get angry. And so I've got a tool now. I go, calm down. That's why I meditated for so many years. It probably saved my life during my corporate days.
Exactly.
Because I was pretty intense.
Yes.
But today's, do I get angry? Sure. But I know I don't worry about it. I go, what's triggering that? I get a chance to work on it. So, yes, the universal code can work. Use the specific codes when you can, as often as you can, because what's not working will always come along to how you're feeling about it not working.
Right.
Well, I'm angry that it is, or I'm frustrated, or I'm anxious, or I'm worried. I always go to the opposite of the feeling. Now, my favorite category is the peace category.
Okay.
I want to be at peace no matter what circumstances on the planet are going on. Like you said, I'm the happiest I've been in years in the last 6 years while the economy in our country is going into spoiling still. And I'm not a doomsayer, or a doomsayer, but I don't think it's going to get better because of some political reason. But I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm not sitting there going, oh, woe is me, woe is the government, woe is... There's no woe. It's going to be what it's going to be. I get to choose how to be in a relationship with that. And I'm also reminded by somebody, I went and saw War Horse last week. I'm reminded very lucky not to be in a trench somewhere.
Yes.
So I think about the, wow, how lucky I am. Wow, how blessed I am. In spite of, no matter what the circumstances are. And a therapist friend of mine years ago shared this with me. Can you be happy? He asked me this question. Can you be happy living under a bridge?
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I didn't think so. The truth was, yeah, I could.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've held that ever since, going, I don't care how far backwards. I've gone way far backwards from the economy that I held, my personal economy, 12 years ago to today. It's been cut
a lot and a half.
They're out of my control. Some of it was in my control. Some of it was out of my control. But guess what? I'm not worried about it. Had I not had this tool, I'd have been devastated by it. I'd have started going, oh, what did I do wrong? Oh, I messed up. Oh, woe is me. So it doesn't matter if you're living under a bridge, if you're shining shoes in some airport. You can be happy. That's the big message. But that doesn't mean you need to settle for that if that's not your dream. That's not my want to live under a bridge, and I'm very grateful. I don't. I live in a beautiful setting, overlooking a lake. We have a lakefront property. I have a boat sitting out there. I walk out onto the dock. I can take a lake ride. My daughter gets to swim. I have a wonderful life. But if I had to go backwards, I'm not going to let going backwards take me out. That's the key. I have talked to God many a time. Should I fall out, Lord? If you want me here, you brought me here. I won't get into the story how that happened, but boy, here was the Bible. He brought me here, and if he wants me to go, then I'll let you go. I'm going to give this up. You want me to give this up? I'm not attached to this. This is just a place to enjoy while I'm being blessed for it. You want to take me somewhere else? Show me the direction. So, yes, use the code. Yes, use the specific code. When the issues come up, they give you the perfect, what's taking you out. There's always a negative feeling surrounding a what takes me out. And target your code on that opposite field. Heal that feeling and install a new image of hope and knowingness and blessing that you say, doesn't matter if I get there, but hey, I'm ready for this feeling. And see what happens. See how things just unfold. I'd call it magic, but it isn't. It's just God's way of working with us. So does that answer your question?
Okay, it's wonderful, and I'm just, where do I get the success code? The other thing is, what
did you sign up to be Sharon? Your name is Sharon, right?
I'm Judy.
I'm sorry, Judy. I wrote down the wrong name. Judy,
yes?
You are a member of this Success Now program?
I am.
Then the success codes come with it. If you didn't get them, contact, customer service and tell them you're a Success Now client, you should have access to the digital version of the Success Code.
Okay. If I'm not, I have to sign up for this?
No. You already signed up. If you sign up and pay your money for Success Now, you have access to Success Code.
Oh, that's terrific. And Ken, what is your last name and how would I ever be able to get in touch with you?
I purposely remain anonymous so I can get my work done behind the scenes.
I hear you.
I don't give out my personal contact information. You can always contact the company if you have a question for me. Just get it.
Oh, right, exactly. And that would just be thehealingcodes.com and just...
Yes, exactly. Say, you know, I have a question for Ken. Can you pass this forward? And it'll get to me.
Oh, terrific, Ken. Okay. I appreciate your time and your expertise. And everything you walk through, you're now able to bring life to others through it. So thanks for hanging in and doing the work. It paid off.
You bet, Judy, and God bless you. We're going to get to our next caller, and that comes from a line with a phone number ending in 9368. 9368, your line is open, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, Ken. My name's Kristen. Hi.
Sounds correctly this time. Okay.
I guess this is going to be a little bit personal, so I hope that it does spread out and relate to other people who are listening in.
Okay.
Something that really resonated with me is that at a certain point in your life, you were a therapist, right, an occupational therapist?
Correct.
Right. So you know how little they make.
That's why it is. And that long term, that is one of the reasons I did not go into a long term, become a therapist for long term. The money was
right.
Not good, especially back in the 70s when I graduated.
Well, it's still really, actually, I think it's gotten even worse. because it's
managed by... Healthcare professions are not well paid. My wife's a nurse, so.
Oh, I
they're still not well paid.
And because nurses, I think, do a lot better than I do. I'm a psychotherapist with a master's degree. And I'm also an actress, but I live in an area that's not a major market, a major market being New York, L.A., Atlanta. So for being in this area, I've gotten a lot of parts in movies. It's been phenomenal, really terrific fun. I'm very complimented because I'm past my 40s. I have a great reputation. I don't make a dime.
They don't pay you for any of this
apples? Oh, tiny bit. You know, and I've done a few local commercials. It's you know, my expenses for getting my pictures and resumes and website, I've got an agent, and you know, we have tons of agents in this town, and there are no jobs.
Right.
So, I'm doing a lot of things that are very fulfilling and fun, and I'm not making any money. So, I'm trying to figure out.
How do you feel about that?
I feel undervalued.
Okay.
You know,
how does feeling undervalued make you feel? Sad, angry.
Yes, it makes me feel sad.
That's what I felt. It's like, in a sense, there's a sadness in that.
You know, I'm very fortunate to be married to a man who makes a great living, and he's very supportive to me. You know, he loves what I do. I bring a lot of light into his life. But, shoot, I'd like to be making my own money.
Okay. Okay, I agree with that. Sure, why not? Hey, have that one. There's nothing wrong with having wants. A lot of times we get caught up, well, is that the right thing to do? Is that the godly thing? God wants us to be blessed, or he wouldn't bless us.
Exactly.
Everything is about how we hold it and who we thank. When you stand in the mirror going, you're really a great guy and you did a good job. Already going, thank you, Lord. But I want to get back to your sadness. You're doing what you love, but I'm hearing you, tell me if I'm wrong, I'm hearing you say you have a sadness around doing what you love because you feel undervalued.
Yeah.
And does that take away from doing what you love?
Oh, very much so.
Okay, so if you got rid of the sadness, still made no money. Let's go live under the bridge for a second.
if you got rid of the sadness and still got to do what you wanted to do, but took away the sadness, do you think it would improve how you held, if you understand the term I'm using, how you hold being an actress?
I think that I have had long periods of time where I've been quite happy and satisfied just doing what I do for no money and, you know, really enjoying it. And I think I'm kind of coming to a new place with that.
Okay. I like that place. I like that place of being happy for no reason. I get to do what I want to do. That's kind of how I hold my music.
Right.
A long time ago, I just said, you know, I'm way past the age of, in fact, a gal heard my CD the other day, I wish I'd have known you 15 years ago. I could have got you recorded. But I go, well, my 15 years ago was longer ago than that. You know, I was playing in the 70s. I had to come to terms with not making it. I had to come to terms with, you know, am I that good? You know, what's the name of the show? The Idol. The Idol.
Idol.
Yeah, American Idol. The one where, you know, these kids get on there and they think they can sing and they can't. I used to think we all knew what our brilliance was. That show has taught me we don't.
Right.
Sometimes we just are what we are and we have the gifts we have and we get an opportunity to enjoy them for nothing more than the gifts they are. Now, with that said, my first desire for you would be that you remove the sadness by doing the codes. Look at the sadness to come. Let's get rid of that piece first.
Okay.
And enjoy it again for what it is. But that doesn't mean I'm not limiting or suggesting you limit yourself to say, okay, I'll just settle back and not get any pay for being an actress. Absolutely not. Have a goal, very specific goal, and take action towards, and this is a, Jack Canfield teaches a lot on this subject, and ask for more. Ask.
Well,
here's my resume. Here's what I'm capable of doing. You want to pay me nothing, you know, virtually nothing. Here's what I'm asking. You don't have that conversation with them, but you know, you key yourself up in a way that shows yourself to be deserving of and asking for, this is the number that we're looking for.
Oh, from these little indie film producers?
Totally. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but it's got to be covering expenses. It should be covering at least your portfolio, your website, your agents, et cetera, et cetera. Don't settle for negative. Get to break even and more. I love the and more. And ask. Test the water. People don't get things if they don't ask for things.
Okay.
Get your certainty back. Get your sadness out of the way and your, not arrogance back, but certainty. I'm a good actress. I deserve to be paid for it. This is what I'm asking.
You know, I hear of other actors who have done that. I've heard, you know, directors and producers are talking about it, and they said, don't they understand where we are here? Don't they understand there are no film incentives in this state? Don't they understand there's just no money? So,
yeah, I'm a big believer that's not always true. You know, I get that there's a lot of indies. I get that there, there are economies that are out there, but, you know, sometimes we get to choose where we play. What's happening here is the limited thinking being applied to you.
Right. Well, and what I'm starting to think is maybe I just need to widen my bandwidth and maybe take another direction. Maybe become a speaker. I'm good at that. Maybe teach kids how, you know, not kids, but teach other actors.
With yourself, and this is where the reflective thinking time can come into great place. Sit with yourself. Well, what's not working? And you're describing what's not working. Well, what's next? What are some alternative things you can do to change that scenario? And, which I love now, and do the healing code or the success code you have for the issues that are coming up that are bringing the negatives because of what's not working. Well, what's not working is I'm not getting paid. What's not working is I'm not feeling appreciated or I'm feeling undervalued. And I'm getting paid like I'm undervalued. Acting should not come free unless you're doing, local community theater just for fun. Not to say you can't. Again, I always go back to, can you have fun living under the bridge? But don't settle for living under the bridge. But don't not enjoy it. Does that all...
It's giving me a little bit of an idea of what direction I can take right now.
And that's where, again, it's not... My goal isn't to give you your direction or suggest your direction. My goal is to give you the tool called reflective thinking and the questioning process used. And the tools to get clarity down on paper so that you can remind yourself and take action towards getting the results you desire. And test them. I've failed, the old saying, how many times did, who created the light bulb? I'm terrible at this.
Edison.
How many times did Edison fail? Thousands before he got that light bulb to work. And we just say, you time out. Wait a minute, I didn't fail. I just eliminated something that didn't work, and I got closer to what did. And it's holding these things in that kind of perspective, and the only way what I have come to learn, the only way we can hold them in that perspective is to reprogram those beliefs in us that don't hold them in those perspectives, that are keeping us from holding them in a positive perspective.
Well, I think what I'm going to move forward with is healing the sadness about being undervalued. Because if I'm feeling undervalued from the world, it must be because I'm undervaluing myself.
Bingo. Heal that and see.
Gotcha.
See where that takes. Start there. I think that's a wonderful place to start.
Great. Thank you.
God bless you.
Okay,
we're going to mute Kristen's line, and then our next caller comes from a phone number ending in 8581. 8581, your line's open, and who am I speaking with? We have a line open for 8581. Are you there? Okay, I don't know if they're, I've got the line open, but I'm going to go ahead and mute it back up because it's not coming through. And I'm going to take the next caller from a phone number ending in 0103. We have a caller from 0103.
Hello.
Hello, your name, please.
Hi, I'm Suzanne in San Antonio, and I have a quick question. I've been doing the healing codes for several months now and started on the success codes. This is the first time I've heard about universal code. I heard you in a conversation with a previous caller, and I'm curious, what is the universal code?
The universal code is a code that was provided in the book that Alex put out a couple years ago called the Healing Code. You don't need it. It is just a singular code that he's taught people within the book. But if you have the Healing Codes and you now have the six codes, you can ignore the fact that that universal, because you've got more specific, and I hate to use the term better, but they are. They're more specific. They work faster towards specific issues. They're in categories that help you identify what category you should be working in, and I always work on the opposite. If I'm feeling angry, I want to be at peace. If I'm feeling worried, or maybe I might want to feel joyful. If I'm feeling angry at somebody, if I'm targeting it in judgment, I want to go to the love category and non-judgment. So I had my own way of, categorizing the 12 categories that you operate. 12 categories are important because they're your key to looking at what's not working, how am I feeling about it, and how would I rather feel. Do the codes on that, and then watch how it shifts the results you start
getting or the actions that it starts allowing you to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. So when you're doing the success code, is it better to start with something small and specific?
In terms of the code, the first thing I would do is, I believe the success code, just like the healing code, and I would suggest to do this, always go through all 12 categories, kind of as a primer.
Right,
go through all 12 categories, spend a day on each one. Maybe you repeat that. When I first started doing the code, I used to just repeat them. I used to just cycle through the 12 categories, go through them again, because I didn't have any specific health concerns that I was working on that stimulated a particular negative feeling. So I just kept working through the 12. Do that absolutely as a primer. Now, after you do the primer, and you can always go back to that, when you have a lack of anything else to do, just keep going through the 12. But if you do have something specific, after you've been primed, target that category and use the codes in that category until they go down to zero, one or zero. If it's sadness, is my sadness gone? If my sadness was a 10, then it's now a 1. Well, I can look at that and not, feel a certain way. And I'm using Kristen's analogy, but that's how I find best usage of the healing code.
Yes. Right, yes, and I've started on this success code. I just finished my 12 days, and I'm going to...
Okay, so you've climbed the pump. Now, what I'll guarantee you, here's the wonderful thing for you. I'm going to put this in the most positive spin. When you start doing your master plan and you start, get into it a couple weeks, you get it outlined, you get it understood, you get it clear, you get focused, and you start putting the action. Here's what I tell everybody when I'm doing training. I guarantee you, you're going to hit the wall and something's going to take you out. Good! Because the world is wonderful at showing us where the problem is. Now you have the tool to go fix the problem. So you're primed and ready to go find out what takes you out. Just the process of living life is going to show you what takes you out until you heal it. And once it's healed, wow, it's really interesting how just your whole perspective on life changes the result. And then something else will show up, guaranteed, especially in the success area. I've never lacked for, something coming up that triggers me that says, I got some work to do here. But now I got a tool. How's that?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, we're going to mute Suzanne's line, and our next caller comes from a phone. Now, this looks like an international number. I hope your line is able to open. The number ends in 3456. That's 3456.
Hello?
Hello. Who am I speaking with?
Hi.
Hi.
Grace.
Hi, Grace.
Hi, Grace. Huh?
What's your question?
Oh, yes, I often hear people say, follow your bliss. How do you find your bliss? Yeah. How do you find your bliss and how do you actually do that?
Well, I think I understand where your question's coming from because so many of us, and I was the same way, got very disconnected from what I call my natural bliss. What makes me happy? What do I enjoy doing? Very often as a child, we have natural things, because of our gifts, we have natural directions we go in that we find to be very fulfilling. You know when you're in your bliss, when you're in a state of, wow, this is, I love doing this. Again, it could be gardening, it could be making something, it could be cooking, it could be music, it could be art, it could be anything.
Everybody has something that brings them great joy. And to me, bliss and joy are very, you know, kiss and cousins. I just kind of same category. What brings you joy? That's your bliss. Are there things, Grace, can you connect with the things in your life that you find joyful? What is it you enjoy doing?
I love drawing and I love making up stories. And then to look back, I feel like it was like as guest. Like, I was brought up by my grandfather who was very angry and fierce.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so scared, I just hide myself in this imaginative world. And so I was happy, but to look back, I feel that's just like as guest.
Well, and what I'm going to suggest is, and I hope everybody can really hear this, and it's very close to my story. One of my blisses, one of my joys in life was music. And I had, way back when I was, a teenager, I had this thing I wanted. I wanted to be on stage. I wanted to be like the Beatles. I wanted to, on and on. That didn't happen. The question is did I let the fact that it didn't happen professionally take me out from enjoying it on a hobby, personal level? My bliss didn't become the work that I do, but there was a point in my life where I totally embraced and totally said, I'm going to enjoy my music as my hobby. I'm going to enjoy my music as my bliss, and I don't make a dime at my music even today, and haven't made money at music for, I won't tell you how long, a long time, probably 30 some odd years. But I am totally in my bliss because music is a part of my life. I always carve out time for the music. So I just want everybody to hear, your bliss doesn't necessarily have to be your income-earning mechanism. When it is, wonderful. But I'll be truthful here. When I was playing on stage 6 nights a week, I resented it. It is one of the reasons I didn't work hard enough to become a professional and make a living that way. I made a living that way for a couple of years, but I kept going, geez, I have to go on stage tonight, oh my gosh, It's like, that was my signal that that's not what I want to do for a living. Don't ruin the hobby by making it work. Now that was me. Another person, I mean, look at some of the entertainers, they would rather be doing nothing more than be on the road and playing somewhere every night. I didn't want that. I didn't want to be on the road. I didn't, the drudgery of being on the road was not for me. I learned to embrace my bliss, my joy, my music differently, to place it where it belongs in my life by choice. And now I can enjoy it that way. And I do something else that I love to do, for work, and I get to call it the work. I no longer work, I do the work. I hold what I do differently. I don't go to work, I get to go up and help people. So it's all in our holding. So find your bliss, but just do the things you find joyful. Do your drawings, do your stories, find outlets for it. That's all. They don't need to pay you. Just like Chris Dinner and her acting. They don't need to pay you for you to find joy in the process of acting or drawing or stories or music. It's nice if they do. Don't limit, I'm not saying limit yourself to it not happening. I'm at an age and I'm still thinking about putting a repertoire together. I actually started. I got about 30 songs ready. I may go play on a Friday, Saturday night here in our little hometown. been talking to some folks about that. And I'm at an age where, you know, typically people don't do that. I still find outlets for my joy. I'm hoping this is kind of gelling in. Is it making sense to you?
Yes. Yeah. But then, how do you decide what you actually make a living with?
Well, and that's where you've got to get into these processes. The way you decide if you do want to make a living, have some goal, have some plan around the integration of what you love to do into how do I express this in a way that that people would be interested to pay for it. And that's where you reflect the process of goal setting around it. Let's say you decide it's your drawings. Do I want to do large drawings and sell them as individual, products as a piece of art? Do I want to do drawings in a series, a book series, and sell it as a pardon me? I haven't had anything to drink.
Okay.
I've lost my voice. Whoa. I think we're getting... I'm going to talk my way through this. Pardon me for my voice being this way. But I'm going to let it...
Thank you for such passion.
Well, thank you. But I'm going to talk and let it relax and itself out of it. I went into a little... I was so involved that I forgot to drink. It got dry. And it just went, boom. So hopefully that helps. We don't have to make unpassioned work, but we can. Do your goals around it. Do your reflective thinking that will help you connect with possibilities. Well, I could try this, I could try that. Take some actions towards those things and see what happens. Correct and continue. Correct and continue. That's how these things become your reality. So does that answer your question for you?
Yes.
Okay, well, God bless you.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and mute Grace's line, and I have one last caller from a phone number ending in 6797. That's 6797. Your line's open. Who are we speaking to? Hello at 6797. I think you're from Bend, Oregon. We have people who raise their hands, but they are online. I'm not sure why. I guess we'll go ahead and mute the line. I apologize if you're out there and you can't be heard. Sometimes the system
does. Hello. Hi.
Oh, there you are. Good.
Yeah.
And my voice is coming back slowly, but... And your name?
Aida.
Aida, how are you?
I'm very well, and thank you again for your time and attention and your voice.
It's about to ready to go out on me. It's coming back now.
Okay. My concern or my thoughts are, after listening to all this, is I have become an independent business owner with network marketing. I love the products. I love the corporation. I enjoy talking to the people, and the business opportunity has integrity. I'm all for it. I've done some of the steps. I've acquired some small success in it. However, that's been a while back ago, and I know the act. I do everything you said. I get to the action, and then I take myself out. I stop, and I look at people, or I start talking to people, and in my head I'm thinking, I could talk to them about this. Well, this is, maybe they can maybe this business opportunity, get interested in, on and on, and yet nothing comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I stand there and then I walk away. Hey, what happened here? Why didn't I say anything? I'm just not able to pinpoint a fear, because there's times I'm more courageous than I give myself credit for, and people will say how brave and bold I am. But yet when I have to stop and make this comment or contact, or you know what I'm trying to say,
yep.
I'm standing there like, what the heck you darn is going on? So there it is.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought this one up, because this is classic. It doesn't matter whether it's network marketing, it doesn't matter whether it's sales, and you got to remember, especially if you're a business owner or business person who's on a, what I call a performance-based income, and that's what you're doing. It's your performance is going to ultimately determine your income level.
Mm-hmm.
This is classic for anybody that sits in that category that, I could have said something, but I didn't. Or I did, I should have brought it up, but I didn't. Or I should have made that call, but I didn't. I should have taken this action, but I didn't. There is a reason behind why you didn't. I'm going to encourage you to get in touch with it. I don't know what's taking you out. You're going to have to answer that question. And the easiest way that, I can guide you a little bit is, well, how do you feel when you don't do it?
Frustrated. Stuck.
Okay. Frustrated and stuck.
And I think at the end of it, it's a little bit sad because I let that opportunity or that moment go.
Okay, perfect. Because you're getting deeper into, and I'm not one of the coaches, so to speak, at the Healing Codes. I haven't gone through the practitioner training. I spent too much time doing the business of the Healing Codes. But I know, I've been around long enough to know the process to say, go back in time. Go to those early memories. Where is that sadness in your life? I didn't do this with Kristen, and I could have, so I'm glad you brought it up. But go to those early memories of when did you have that first same kind of sadness in your life that caused you to not take action? That little girl in you that basically said, they don't want to hear from me. I'm not good enough to go talk to that group. Or say anything to them. That might be what I'm just saying out loud, what might have happened in life. It could be so subtle. The little subtle things sometimes, Alex calls them the ice cream stories, A little subtle thing in life that made you sad and made you back off and made you feel less than so that you didn't pipe up. Because if your story is real and what you have to offer can change people's lives, why wouldn't you want to share that with somebody? With enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a belief down there saying, they don't want to listen to me. They don't want to hear my voice.
And I agree to acknowledge that in the moments and times where I have spoken up, I have been enthusiastic. And people have acknowledged that. So again, it goes back to I know I'm capable, and we go back to, but there's something maybe as subtle as those ice cream stories that that pop up.
Exactly, and again, it's not that we fully understand them. We're not doing psychotherapy on these problems.
Mm-hmm.
The neat thing about the success code, the healing code, but in this case, I'd be using the success. Well, what's keeping me? The sadness is keeping me from doing it. The feeling less than. Do a code that would bring you out of that would reprogram that so that there's no block. There's no imaginary belief wall that takes you out.
Because
it's an imaginary wall that you're not walking through. It's all in your mind.
Sure.
And it's all in your belief and your heart. You understand, right? You've probably been along.
I do.
So,
yeah.
The code's on it. There's your opportunity. Again, you have the flag. I know what I'm doing. I know what my actions or lack of actions are telling me. Now do the code on what they're telling me. That's the great integration that we have here. And then get back to work. Go test it. If it's not done, you keep doing the codes until there's a more natural behavior in you that says, gee, I'd like to, you know, and I know a lot of these network marketing, they teach you how to do it very comfortably, you know, just get into dialogue. Most people, you know, I was in sales for a long time. You don't beat people up over the head with stuff. You gently give them an opportunity to get in dialogue with you about something that, you know, might be of importance to them. Wow, I've got something that might help you achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they're teaching you all that. So it's probably not for lack of knowing what to say when you say it. It's something's holding you back from saying it.
Yes.
So,
and just speaking out of the sadness, even listening to you, it brings almost tears to my eyes. So there's definitely something there that I haven't, you know, looked at or haven't used the codes with.
Right. You know what? Aida. Wow, that's neat. You found it. I finally see it a little bit. Now let's start working on it so it can self-expose a little more and you can get a little deeper and you can do the codes on all the things attached to that. And once it melts away, see what happens. Find out if something else is keeping you from it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. For a long time, I thought there was something inherently wrong with me.
Don't we all? We all think there's something inherently wrong with us.
But again, as some people have spoken, coming to the Lord and realizing who I am in Him, and you know, so on and so forth, and really attacking those lies one by one, I've gotten to a point where I could even make this phone call and speak up and say what I said and allow myself and my heart to bring up even the sadness. I hadn't thought about it. It hadn't, you know, percolated up until now. So I thank you for that.
You are certainly welcome. And I hope others are listening to that, because I can guarantee you there's a number of you on the phone that have the similar challenges when it comes to taking action that's necessary for you getting results. So, I'm hoping that by answering these questions, we've kind of brought some light, shined some light on this darkness of success that helps you bring clarity and direction and a tool that helps you overcome those programmings that take you out. And start a whole different life for yourself.
Oh.
That's what I want to do. That's my goal. I'm not attached to whether you get your goal, but I'm going to enjoy the heck out of helping you get there if that's what you choose to do.
And I also so look forward to the breakthrough. I've been asking the Lord and praying about that for the longest time, and little by little He's been revealing different steps of different, you know, spots on the road, and this is one of them, I trust. And so again, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome, and God bless. And you just reminded me, and I had this written down on my page to bring up. And, you know, I went through direction, clarity, focus, action, flexibility, and attachment. Let go, you know, don't be attached. And the last thing that I failed to mention is patience. Patience. It took a lot of years for me, after leaving that corporate world, find my way. Start getting the results that I started drafting 12 years ago. Results didn't start showing up for over 5 years.
And I'm learning that patience isn't the tolerance of, oh gosh, when is this life going to change and when is that lady in front of me going to move? It's about being steady as she goes.